Very happy to have with us now the Browns Director of Player Personnel, John Sandusky. John, welcome back to the show. I know the last time you were with us was when we were down in Mobile.
Pleasure to be here again, Vic.
Well, we're getting ready for the combine and want to start with your big picture perspective of what the combine itself means to the Browns player personnel evaluation.
Right. It's, again, another final piece to the puzzle here as we put the whole thing together. It's a big event. I think the things that you get most out of it are, you know, the face-to-face contact with the players in the interviews, as well as the medical portion of the combine. And then you get to see these guys doing skills and drills that maybe putting themselves in positions that you hadn't seen on tape, throw up a red flag, hey, I need to go watch a little bit more tape on this guy. But it's really a week-long event that you can pick and choose different parts that you think will help complete your player evaluation on certain guys.
How many combines is this for you?
This will be my 12th year in the league, but 11th combine.
Has it gotten bigger in those? I mean, I know the attention of it with NFL Network covering it over the last several years, whenever they started putting the cameras in there, and that's made it feel bigger, certainly. But as an actual event, compared to what you remember it as that first time, how much bigger has it gotten?
I think it's the same in terms of the guys you're talking to, the same drills. They're running the same drills. But again, yeah, the media attention, the television network exposure, and then you get more with the internet, exploding. You get more things written about it and how guys performed, where it used to be a little bit more secretive.
Right. They kept the public eye or the media eye out of there completely, and it was only just for teams' eyes only.
Right. Right. And now my friends texted me people's 40 time before I even get it. It's because I'm not watching the TV and I'm calling down to our scouts. What do you run? What do you run? And it's flashed up on the TV screen already. So it's been a little different in that sense. But it's really the nuts and bolts of it are getting to see the player in the interview room, and that stuff obviously that is not televised.
And of the more than 300 or so players that are invited to this, seniors and underclassmen that'll take part, how many of them are truly on your board? And are we talking, is it that precise that everybody you see there is exactly the guys that you are tracking as a team?
Not necessarily. There'll be some guys that don't get invited to the combine that we may have on the draft board, and then there are guys that are invited to the combine who may be on our free agent board. But the bulk of the players there will be on most everybody's draft boards, and we may have 200 guys on our draft board. And obviously the number's higher for the invitees to the combine.
And when we look at guys working out or not working out, unfortunately, it always happens that the so-called top guys or those who are touted and hyped beforehand choose not to work out, and for fear that they won't either look good, it'll hurt their stock, or something will happen that'll work against them, and they want to save those workouts for the comfort of their on-campus situations.
Yeah, I mean, and when you're talking about quarterbacks in the top one or two or three, you would like to see them perform, but I think over history it hasn't really hurt their stock per se of where they've gone.
Cam Newton last year.
Exactly. I'm not sure if some of the guys are working out this year as well, but you don't think that that's going to hurt their stock too much. Now, other positions, you would like to see them compete against the best players. You would like to see them be able to perform on a big stage, and especially now with the television, that's even more pressure. So, and you like to see guys, compete and fight, and you want to see guys that like to perform in front of a lot of people.
That's what I was going to say. Have the cameras being in that stadium, in Lucas Oil Stadium, and before that the RCA Dome, has that maybe ratcheted up that feeling that they're on display more? I mean, I would think it would be enough to know that guys like yourself, who can determine their professional futures, have your eyeballs on them. But now having those cameras there, do you think it's changed the performance level?
I think the pressure is a little bit more to perform. Bottom line is everyone's going to get the numbers at some point, and these guys need to perform no matter what. You would hope that this wouldn't scare guys away, because, you know, I've seen it where a guy is highly touted and then he doesn't work out, all of a sudden a few teams will, you know, shy away from that guy in terms of where they have them on their draft board, because your first thought is, what are they trying to hide, you know? So, again, you'd rather them work out there in front of everybody instead of trying to hide, you know, some mythical flaw that you create in your own head about them.
John Sandusky, the Browns Director of Player Personnel, joining us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When you think about, through the years, what you've taken from this, what has been so valuable or most valuable from previous combines, tell me that. Give me a short list of some of the just some of the takeaways that have been most beneficial to you in your process of drafting.
You know, I like to watch the guys in the individual drills. I think it can either confirm or throw up a red flag on maybe a physical tool that you may not have seen on tape. So you like to see the guys compete against each other. You like to see them move around efficiently. A perfect example of a guy that I think helped himself at the combine was Buster Skrine from last year. Mm. He came out and really blew up the workout. He moved around unbelievably well. He ran really fast. He jumped high. He changed direction really well. And in your head, you're like, you know, the guy on tape looked a little more hesitant. He didn't play quite that fast. So you combine that with then talking to him off the field, and he's explaining how he had four different position coaches, how, you know, the technique that they taught was different every year, and it caused him to play a little slower, you know, thinking a little bit more, mm-hmm. and he wasn't able to use those tools that he displayed out in the individual drills at the combine. Uh-huh. So when you start adding things up, you're like, you know what, maybe this guy is a little bit more like he showed during the drills than he is, you know, off the tape. Now, you never want to deviate too far from what you watched on the tape, but
sure.
But that was a perfect combination of the two, him displaying his physical attributes and then him explaining some of the stuff that went on behind the scenes at his school that, you know, maybe we bumped him up just a little bit from where we had on the draft board. But again, you don't want to change too much from what happens at the combine.
But will that happen? I don't know necessarily about changing where the guy is picked, John, but will it happen where you have multiple cases each year where you'll be influenced at least or pay attention to something at the combine, performance slash what a person says to you in those interviews, that does become important to your decision process?
Yeah, I think what it does is it alerts you to something that may make you go back and watch more tape, positive or negative. And then you'll make your conclusion. Most of the time, he's still what we thought he was. Other times, you can kind of see what they were talking about in their interview, or you can see flashes of some of the stuff that they did in the individual drills, and you may just tweak it just a little bit.
And when we talk about those interviews, you're going to make the request with the combine. You already have, I know, for the players, and each team gets up to, is it 60 guys that you can ask for to sit down with? So you'll make those requests. You'll have those 60 players that you can, as a group, take time talking with. You personally, how many of those 60 will you sit in with?
I'll sit in on all of them.
On all of
them.
Yes. Okay. So you'll sit in on all each one, and you're. Is it just a football takeaway? Are there some psychological evaluations going on? And do you bring in any experts in those fields as well?
Yeah, we don't personally. Every team does it different.
Yeah.
You know, I think some teams will focus more on the personal background, you know, and make it more of like an informal interview where you're talking about family, and where we focus more on football and watching the tape, going through a list of plays that our coaches have pulled out and asking them, what are you looking at here? What's the assignment of the guy in front of you here? You know, what's your favorite play? Can you diagram that play on the board for us and tell everyone what everybody on your team is supposed to be doing on this play? Now, so we focus more on the football stuff, and we may ask, you know, one thing about their family, just take a kind of a get-to-know-you question, but then we jump right into the football, where other places I've been in Philadelphia, we maybe spent a little bit more time on the background and personal stuff. So every team does it differently. You're going to have time to meet with these guys, you know, outside of that room, whether it's at your building or somewhere else in Indianapolis. So maybe they just reverse the two things, you know. So
okay.
I like the way we do it. You know, you can see them communicate about football, and then you'll get to know, you know, about their family and you know, things that they've done off the field, positive or negative, at right. other times during the process.
Now, what about the Wonderlic test and or intelligence testing? Do you use the Wonderlic, or do you have a Brown-specific one? And when and how are those conducted over there?
We do use the Wonderlic. I mean, the NFL conducts that, so everyone okay. gets that information.
Same results
right,
for the whole
right.
everybody.
So we'll look at that. You know, you can make mistakes by putting too much weight on that specific test. You see guys that score really high on it that maybe don't play nearly as instinctively on the field, and then you see guys that score very poorly on that test that just have an unbelievable football sense. So you don't want to, you know, you don't want to put too much weight on that one way or the other, but you will look at it and see if you need to explore any more in terms of how this person learns, maybe a specific way they are coached that,
right.
that helps them, you know, more than another way.
And just for people who aren't, and for those who they've heard the term or that don't know what we're talking about, the Wonderlic test, it's named after the originator of the test, and they came up with this, I think, years ago for fighter pilots to help the military fighter pilots take this, and it's called cognitive reasoning or cognitive thinking.
Right.
I know people boil it down and say, yeah, it's just a simple basic intelligence, pre-employment intelligence test to just get a handle on
right.
what the person knows.
Yeah, and the questions get more difficult as you go.
And it's
timed. A lot of problem solving.
Yeah, problem solving.
12 minutes to answer 50 questions. So then you have that element of it as well.
Like the pressure.
How quickly can they answer these questions? So, yeah, again, it's just another tool that we use. Again, you don't want to use it as gospel, but, you know, it may alert you to something that you would send you in another direction to explore other things.
A really, really low score will get your attention, obviously. I mean, a high score is always great, but you might just look at a really low score and at least raise an eyebrow.
Yeah, and you might want to figure out why that happened. You know, were they completely not focused during the test? Did they not want to be there? You know, do they take verbal tests better? Do they learn a different way than the standard person? So you may dive into that a little bit more, or you may have them retake it. And they'll score better, and maybe they were just having an off day. So there's just basically you'll just go and do more research on that, but it will alert you. You know, again, you don't want to kill a guy too much for scoring too low.
We're going to have more coming up with John Sandusky. He is the Browns Director of Player Personnel here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford and brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. And we're continuing our conversation with John Sandusky. He's the Browns Director of Player Personnel. So, John, when we think about the combine's importance, and as you've pointed out, it's one part of the process, one piece of an overall puzzle or a section of the puzzle, I guess. Maybe it's a little bigger than a piece. But how many times has it happened where you're in the draft room now and you're down to making a decision on player X, and you refer specifically to something from the combine, whether it's a piece of tape of a workout, possibly, or a conversation in that 15-minute interview process you have with players? Is that ever a case where in the 15-minute period of deciding, are we drafting this guy, that you're literally consulting that information on the spot?
I don't believe so. No.
Okay.
So that once that have we ever made a pick right after talking about something that happened specifically at the combine? I think the work is done weeks before, a couple weeks before, where we've already added the combine section to the totality of the entire player, and we've placed that guy on the board in an area where the board is going to make the decision for us. So
the discussion. There often is a discussion before the player. It's just not so specific as to say, okay, this is based on what we saw here. You may,
right.
in the back of somebody's mind, be thinking that, but you don't necessarily go to any proof there that, you see what I'm talking about? He did this.
Yeah, okay. Right. Again, it's
But game tape you might look at.
Yeah,
you take a millionth look.
You know, one final look to break a tie. You've got two or three guys that you're really considering, and
sure,
you may quick the morning before that next round take a look at all three of them. But really, I mean, so much work has been put into it. Again, the combine information will be added to the fall tape evaluation,
mm-hmm,
and they'll be put up on the board in an area that takes all of that stuff into consideration already. So when you're taking a player, you know you've already added the combine information into where he's been placed on the board. So you're just really going to trust your board and take the next best player available.
You mentioned earlier in the show about how this used to be the real private, secretive type of thing, right? And now it's cameras and very public, and people on the outside, as you say, could find out the 40 time before you do because they're watching it on NFL Network and you're inside the place. Without a TV monitor, it's not set up like a game situation or that you're listening on any kind of radio or whatever, like a fan would at a game. But fans are going to be inside the stadium this year, and this is a first time. The NFL has invited, I think, or made available a chance for more than 200 fans to be part of this. How do you see that maybe just changing the dynamic of it?
I think you'll hear people cheering, and you know it may get the juices flowing a little bit more for the player because it can get kind of quiet, you know, with the personnel people. You obviously aren't clapping their hands and
no,
hooting and hollering. I don't know what the rules are for those fans, but you know, if they are allowed to make, you know, verbal noises, and
they probably, it's got to be like a tennis match maybe or
yeah,
a golf tournament.
Yeah.
They got to because it's quiet in there.
Very quiet.
I mean, you
very
hear
quiet.
You could hear the athlete, you know, making his run and the breathing or whatever, and then the start and stop. But on the 40, I'm talking about, and the other drills. It's the position coaches talking through the drill. Really, you guys, maybe I've heard maybe slight murmurs, but not much out of the stands.
Right, and then you know you've got people that their job is to watch them perform, so they don't want to be, you know, talking a lot.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you know, it's a very serious thing that we know that the player is going through, so you
sure,
don't want to distract them. So it'll be interesting. I'm not sure what the rules are for the fans, but it'll be it'll be a little different if they are allowed to hoot
yeah,
and holler.
Yeah, it'll feel different. There's no question. And I just wonder, too, and look, it's an opportunity. The NFL at the Super Bowl on Media Day, fans were there. Now, there were about, I forget what the number was, but at least half of the stadium in Indianapolis was packed with fans who were, it was maybe 8,000, whatever it was, but they were making noises as they heard the players, because they had on their headsets, they could hear the players' interviews with the media. So they may
yeah,
react to certain things that they said about whatever and make noise and cheer, which I found bizarre. You know, I know
yeah,
cheering interviews.
Yeah.
I just never could envision that. So if that's any example, yeah, this could be really different.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not sure what to think of it, to be honest. You know, I think it could be exciting. It could, you know,
I wonder if it'll be
will it
be distracting to you doing your job.
I don't know.
I can't imagine they'd want.
Like I said, unless there's rules.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not sure. We'll see how it goes.
So paint the picture. You're sitting in the stands with the Browns contingent. Notebook, or how do you take notes? And give me a feel for what kinds of notes you take.
Everybody does it different. You have lists upon lists of guys. You have, you know, the defensive line, for example, you'll have one through however many guys are there, and it's in alphabetical order. So the first defense lineman's last name starts with A. He'll be DL1. Then the next guy, alphabetically, DL2. And then by the end of the week, you almost have the guy memorized by his jersey number.
Sure.
But you have a list with maybe five guys on per page that has height, weight, speed, lots of information. Then you have other lists that are just the name. That's the list I like to go off of, and then I have a blank column to the right of that where I'll put plus, you know, speed, plus COD, change of direction. I'll take little notes like that where I have all the players on one page, so I'm not flipping through a million different pages. But
okay,
everyone does it different again, and, you know, I'll take just little
copious,
you know,
notes.
Copious notes, cliff notes, if you will.
DL1, DL2, all those references or position or RB1, RB2, as it whatever it might be, those are on their shirts too, right? They're wearing those shirts that are designated as such, and it's just those are position groups that they're in.
Right. So okay. They'll clump all the linebackers together. They'll clump all the D linemen together. They don't separate D tackles and defensive ends. Mm-hmm. Same with the secondary. You'll get DB1, DB2. So you have to know, that they will intermix some positions.
Yeah. And the other part of this is when you're watching with your cohorts from other teams, how much – it's such a competitive environment as football is in general, but how much do you sort of – talk about or banter about other players? I mean, does that naturally happen, keeping in mind that you don't want to show your cards to another team?
Right. And you discourage your scouts from doing that, obviously, for obvious reasons. You'd like to keep your own team's information close to the vest. You'll hear little snickers and, people who thought one thing about a player and other people who thought another thing about a player. They may elbow each other, But really, you don't get a lot of that.
No.
Maybe amongst your own scouts.
Right.
But not so much amongst other teams,
okay,
per se. Because, again, no one wants to let their information get outside the building.
John Sandusky joining us. He is the Browns Director of Player Personnel on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. John, do you have a prototype of what you look for at each position, correct? So give people a feel, I guess, for as best you can. I know this is pretty well guarded, but you have a scouting profile that you use. Every team is specific and different about
right.
this, right?
Right.
It's a manual that you and all the scouts have that they take out to the field and looking for these specific qualities in
right.
players. Give us a feel.
And we work with the coaches a little bit. Pat had all of his assistant coaches describe their ideal player for their position for our scheme. So that was really the beginning of when Coach Shermer came in. He had what he calls core characteristics for each position. And he had the actual position coach write up a little, this is what I would ideally want, this is what I, could work with, and this is what I absolutely have to have if you're breaking a tie. So that was a neat little assignment that he did. Then we move on with our scouts. We translate that information. We will put little sheets together of this is what a starting middle linebacker, height, weight, speed, arm length, this is what he looks like in the league. And then we'll even pare it down from that. We'll have these are the 8 linebackers that were selected to the Pro Bowl. These were their average measurables.
Okay.
So this is what a typical NFL starting linebacker, and this is what a typical NFL Pro Bowl starting linebacker looks like. Now, obviously, it's the scout's job to look through the numbers, but you could use that as he at least has the physical tools to play in the league.
Sure.
Now, it's the scout's job to say, does he use those tools to his advantage? Does he not use his God-given tools to the best of his ability? And that's really the reason you have scouts. You want guys that are looking for guys that play bigger than their measurables or guys that play smaller than their measurables. Guys that play faster than their 40 time, guys that play slower than their 40 time. And I mean, really, that's the sole purpose of having scouts is to not make mistakes basing everything off numbers alone. But we will give them a template of what this is what a guy looks like ideally.
Sure.
This is what a Pro Bowl guy looks like, and this is their averages. And then we'll combine that with what the coaches want, and then we'll come up with an ideal player for the Cleveland Browns specifically.
And will you use some Browns in this discussion, like having a Joe Thomas here as a shining example of what a pro all-pro standout tackle should look like, Alex Mack at center. I mean, these are the kinds of qualities, Joe Hayden
right.
at corner. These are good examples, right?
Right, and I often talk about a guy needs to be a star player. He needs to be smart, tough, athletic, and responsible. And obviously the combine – combines all that stuff. You can get some of this responsibility stuff in the interview, how they describe their background, their work ethic, but then you also see the intelligence portion of it, whether they're communicating or taking a psychological test, and then you see the athletic portion of it and the skills and drills. So Really, that's what we're looking for. The Joe Thomas type players who has all four of those characteristics, the smarts, the toughs, the athletic ability, and the responsibility that make up an ideal Pro Bowl player.
Great stuff. John, thank you so much for taking the time.
It was great to be here. Thanks again.
All right. He is John Sandusky. He is the Browns Director of Player Personnel joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford, brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.